The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
The only thing you care about is winning the All-Ireland. Everything else is secondary. We probably did hate Mayo. We were looking at it. These guys are trying to take away our dream.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
We are going to turn our attention to the return of the Premier League this season. Football writer Daniel Harris joins us on the line. Good morning to you, Daniel.
Hiya.
We've missed you over the last couple of months, so good chance to catch up with you again. 12 points, the difference, obviously, last season. And when you weigh it up between United and City, specifically, you've Sancho and Varane, obviously, on one side of that scales, Aguero gone and Grealish in on the other side. It does look like advantage United in that particular race.
I mean, you can never be sure about how players are going to go and until you actually watch them play. So you kind of, yeah, you often see who's won the transfer window. Well, who knows? But yeah, United have signed two really good players. And as far as these things go, it would be quite shocking if they didn't come off, because they look like the kind of players that are good enough to go and basically work in any kind of circumstance. As for City and Grealish, I thought that was kind of a strange one. In that, I mean, a tricksy midfielder. Pep Guardiola's finally found himself the tricksy midfielder that he's been looking for all this time. In that City have got lots of players who are not dissimilar to Jack Grealish. And if I was looking at that squad and I've got a budget, I'd be thinking, do I need to replace Fernandinho or Rodri? Like, is there an upgrade on that kind of player available? And is there an upgrade on John Stones available? And I've got to get a centre forward. So in that sense, it's kind of strange that they've gone for Grealish, although Grealish is a really good player. And I think that he just gives them another option. So I assume that what Pep Guardiola is looking for is just another match winner. And the more match winners you have, the more matches you win. So I understand it from that perspective. But if I was looking at City's squad or City's team, the hole that I would be looking to address would not be the Jack Grealish-shaped one, because I didn't really think that there was one to begin with.
I was looking at some of Solskjaer's quotes from during the week, and he was saying that they have a little bit to go to win trophies. We regularly, certainly this side of the water, tend to look at commentary through the Roy Keane lens, and I imagined that he would be fuming at a comment like that. Now, he's obviously a big advocate of Solskjaer, so potentially not. But that idea of United having a little bit to go to win trophies, surely internally that's not the message that Solskjaer is putting out, or actually that he even believes that.
I'm not sure. I mean, when you say internally, I think that we need to make the point here that internally, probably, they're satisfied with Champions League qualification. If the Glazers really were serious about United winning the league, they'd be giving Ole the money he needs for the midfield player that he needs. Mm. And they haven't done that. Like, they've made him, rather than say, like, what are the areas in the team? If you looked at United's team last season, you could see they need a better centre-back than Lindelof. They need a midfield player to play behind Pogba and Bruno, and they need a right winger. And those are the things that they need. I mean, they could also kind of use a centre forward and a goalkeeper, but whatever. They've made him prioritise. So basically, he's realised that he could get Sancho and he could get Varane, who are basically his first choices for those positions. I would actually have preferred a defensive midfield player to. Or a playmaking midfield player, a deep line playmaking midfield player to a centre back. But because I think he could get the best centre back that he thought was available and get him for a good price, he prioritised getting that player. So United are still chasing. And when I say chasing, obviously they're chasing City, they're trying to make up the deficit, but they don't have the player that they want for every position, which I would say Pep Guardiola almost does have. He still needs a centre forward, whether he gets Harry Kane or not, who's going to know, who knows. But ultimately, City are the favourites to win the league because they've got the best team, the best players and the best manager. And it's very hard to compete with that, but United are getting closer. They're starting to have enough good players so that you expect them to win almost every game.
But on that point, actually, it's just such an interesting point that they obviously have brought those players in. But like at the same time, when you look at their forward options and their goalkeeper options being two of the most crucial positions on the pitch, there is an uncertainty, right? Like about who's going to start in goal for United. Is Martial going to deliver goals? There's a big uncertainty about two hugely important positions.
I think that you sometimes get teams who you might look at them and be able to pick holes in the team. But when you look at this United team, I think they're going to be unlikely to be short of goals. They've just got so many good attackers who are able to find goals out of nothing that it's true that they are lacking that centre forward. that, I mean, Chelsea have just bought themselves one. I mean, he was previously at United and didn't quite fit in with the way that they wanted to play and wanted to go, I think, himself. But they are lacking that centre forward because Cavani is not going to be able to play with the games. But with, like, Rashford's going to come back and he's going to be fit, which he hasn't been for a long time, and he's going to have a point to prove and a place to regain. Mason Greenwood was really good at the end of last season. He's looked really good in pre-season. He's a goal scorer. Sancho scores goals. Martial, they're not going to have to rely on him in the same way. Like, Martial let them down last season. It was a problem last season because they were relying on him. This season, unless there are injuries, they're not going to have to rely on Martial. He's going to be another player, another option that they've got. So having him is good because he's a good player and his top level, we know, is a really good level. It's just the level that he hits the rest of the time that is a problem. But he's not going to be getting into the team unless he hits that level. So hopefully he's someone who can get back to where he was the season before last. It's a shame that Anthony Elanga's injured because he looked ready in pre-season, and he's someone who he's a really interesting player because he has the agility and the speed of a winger, but the instinct of a centre forward. So he wants to score goals, he wants to get into the box, he wants to score tap-ins. And United have lacked that a little bit over the last few seasons. That's, if you're looking at Rashford and Mason Greenwood and Martial, that would probably be the single area with all of them where you'd want them to improve is scoring more cheap goals. So I don't think United will be short of goals, and they also should be good at stopping them because the defence that they've got might be the best in the league. What United lacks still a little bit is a midfield that is able to dominate a game against any opposition. But what they've got is they've got Pogba and Bruno, who are two high-risk, high-reward players, which means they turn the ball over a lot. They're not looking necessarily to keep possession that much of the time. They're looking to create goal-scoring opportunities. But United have moved the ball really well in pre-season without those players always playing. They've looked in pre-season like they know what they're doing, like they've got a plan about how they want to move the ball through the pitch, and that's something that they've lacked over the last couple of years. Whether they're good enough to be able to impose that against Manchester City, against Liverpool, we don't know yet because we haven't seen this particular iteration of Ole's side try and do it. But by virtue of scoring goals and not conceding goals, I mean, it's a bit like boxing where you just like kind of in its way balls down to hit and don't get hit. Like they have a good chance of winning a lot of games. But whether they're quite good enough without that kind of playmaking midfield player or chasing midfield player, that's what they're lacking. And that one player would probably give them the opportunity to start building play with more tempo, which is something that they kind of lack. They have the ability to do it sometimes, and they have brilliant attackers that can combine and score against any team out of nothing. But it's just that ability to control the flow of the game is something that they don't have, and I'm not sure they've quite got the players for that yet.
When you're looking through the top four, Daniel, on paper, where do Harry Maguire and Raphael Varane rank as a centre-back partnership?
I wouldn't swap them for any of the others. I think we don't know what Virgil van Dijk is going to be like, and obviously we don't know what Ibrahima Konate is going to be like. I think we can assume that Konate is good just because we know that Liverpool are really good at finding the right players. And they looked at it, decided they needed a centre-back, and Konate was the one that they picked out of all the others that were available. Out of Koundé, Konate, what's his name? The Tapsoba, like all of those guys who are kind of the next centre-backs waiting to come through. They decided that Konate was the best one. So I think we could probably presume that Konate is a good player. What Van Dijk's going to be is much harder to say because coming back from a cruise ship and being good immediately is not something you see that often. I remember when Roy Keane did his cruise ship, took him till about November to get going again, and I've never seen anyone recover from a cruise ship as well as Roy Keane recovered from it, and he was younger than Van Dijk and less reliant on his pace. So I don't know what Van Dijk's going to be. I doubt very much that we see the Van Dijk that we saw before the cruise ship for at least the first 3 or 4 months of the season, and we might never see that player again. Until we do see that, but until we've been able to see and see what's going on, we don't know how good a partnership him and Konate are going to be. But the thing always with Maguire is that he's been covering a little bit for Lindelof, and neither of them have the pace that enables you to play further up the pitch. So it's not just that Maguire and and Varane are good players individually. It's the way that they meld together looks like it should work, because you have Maguire who can go and attack the ball. You have Varane who's going to pick off anything that gets by Maguire, in quite a similar way to Vidic and Ferdinand. He's got that recovery pace that Ferdinand had. He's got the physicality. And I think also the difference that he'll make is he's dominant in the air. And Lindelof is not. And we saw the most obvious occasion that springs to mind was the Europa League final against Villarreal, where the goal that United conceded was Lindelof's fault. And Lindelof's one of those players who's sort of risen as far as his athletic ability will take him. And all the improvements that you'd like Lindelof to make, we're forgetting Varane for a second, are improvements he's not really able to make, because he's not going to get any bigger, he's not going to get any faster, he's not going to get any stronger. And so the only way to improve Lindelof is just to get a different player. United have done that. And what that should do is the pace that's now going to be behind Wan-Bissaka should also give him more security to get up the pitch, because when he's playing next to Lindelof as the right centre-back, he knows that Lindelof doesn't have that recovery pace and there's going to be a gap in behind. Whereas he doesn't have to do that now. And what I'm also hoping is that Varane is going to have more control over Wan-Bissaka than Lindelof did, because what we see with Wan-Bissaka is he's really good defending one-on-one, but he lacks that awareness at the back post. You see balls go over his head, drop on his head a lot at the back post. And I mean, that is something he should have sorted out himself, but a high quality partner is also something that should be able to sort that out for him, because he should be someone who's watching him all the time, who's always telling him to look over his shoulder. So hopefully Varane will be able to improve the back four in that regard as well.
On the Van Dijk point, Daniel, and his return, which could end up being the signing of the season, and we don't know exactly, like you say, in terms of how he reacts to that, but are we doing Liverpool a disservice? I don't see too many people tipping them up to win the Premier League, like with his return and keeping the players that they have, Wijnaldum notwithstanding. Are we doing them a disservice? Are they not live contenders?
I'd be surprised, because I think we saw the best of this Liverpool team now, not last season or even the season before that, but the season before that. The year that they came second to Man City, I thought was the best iteration of this Liverpool team. Then the following year, obviously they absolutely smashed the league, but I don't think they did it by playing as well as often. They won an absolute stack of games by one goal and things went for them. And I don't think that's going to happen again, because the team are now 2 years older than they were when they were doing that. And it seems unlikely that these players are going to get better now. Like Sadio Mane is not going to get better. He might get towards that level again. But the genius of Jurgen Klopp, I think, is persuading very good players that they could play like world beaters. And they did it for a bit, but I don't think we're going to see them be able to sustain that, because ultimately, players who are able to play brilliant seasons over and over again, I think Salah is the only one who's looked capable of doing that over the last three seasons. The others are good players, but I don't think they're capable of hitting that level. And Liverpool, when I look at them, I think that team needs refreshing a little bit. Perhaps Curtis Jones will come in, replace Gini Wijnaldum, and be brilliant. Because, I mean, Curtis Jones is a really interesting player. Like, he's got that willowy ability to run with the ball in the middle of the pitch, and you don't see that a lot. But being as fit as often as Wijnaldum before you've even gone into the quality is a lot to ask. And I don't know if it's going to be him that gets that job, but if it is, filling that gap is a lot to ask. Or it might be Thiago, but he's a very different player to Wijnaldum. Like, he doesn't give them that same dynamism. He has the dynamism in his passing. But Liverpool are a very physical team. And when the players start to get beyond their physical peak, imposing that physical game suddenly becomes much harder. So Liverpool, obviously, like, if Salah and Mane both go and score 70 goals between them, 60, 70 goals between them, Liverpool will have a shot at it. But I look at Liverpool and I see a team that needs refreshing and needs improving. And usually the league is won by teams that are hitting their peak. You do sometimes see it where ageing teams are able to dig out one more title. But I think the competition this year is going to be quite stern. And I think that Liverpool aren't as good. Their best might be as good as United's best, as Chelsea's best, as City's best, but I'm not sure that they will be able to impose the same level of consistency, because I think we had a year where a more sensible points tally won the league. It looks to me like it's going to be a season where you're going to need beyond 85 points to win the league next season. Season. And I don't think Liverpool are going to be able to get that.
And that competition becomes more stern if and when Harry Kane does go to the Etihad.
Right.
How do you see this playing out, Daniel, in terms of this weekend, first off, as a Tottenham player, and beyond that, when he inevitably becomes a not Tottenham player?
I mean, we don't know that the deal will be done yet. If it is done, obviously it improves City. Like, if you look at them, where they've got their weaknesses as a centre forward, they got away with it last season because they were so good in so many other areas. But if you suddenly put Harry Kane in there, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to score as many goals. But I think that he will fit quite well with the way City play, because the new Harry Kane wants to drop off and he'll have pace and goal scorers outside him. And I think that he'll make it even harder to get the ball off City, because when Pep Guardiola's Barcelona team, obviously the hardest team in history to beat and to get the ball off, one of the reasons they're able to do that is because a lot of the time they have Messi at centre forward, and it's just like having another player in midfield. And Sergio Aguero didn't give them that. He gave them a lot of other things, but he's someone who just wants to get the ball, get it at his feet, bang, goal. Kane is able to do that as well, like his finishing from kind of 15 to 22 yards is as good as almost anyone I've ever seen. And what's so good about Kane is he does shoot really early, which is a similarity with Aguero. Aguero used to have that shot that he basically put out from around the side of his arse and before the goalkeeper had set, goal. Kane is slightly different, like it's a bit slightly more technical, measured affair with Kane, but he has that same ability to do that, to get shots away early and to get them away early when you don't expect him to, even though you know he's going to. But what Kane also gives is he gives them another playmaker. And that means that players can run past him. And I think that he would be a really good fit for the way City play. I mean, what a ridiculous sentence that is. Of course, Harry Kane is going to be a good fit for City if they're able to get him. And I think what that gives City as well is, and it's the same with Grealish to an extent, is that it gives them just another source of goals. And teams that win leagues often, we saw it in Liverpool, as I said just a few minutes ago, they got involved in a lot of tight games. But if you've got players, the more players you have that can score goals, the more tight games you're likely to win. What Liverpool don't have is that they don't have options on the bench, really, that you can bring on to win tight games. And City absolutely are going to have that. And if they do get Kane, that'll just give them another route to scoring a goal, another way of winning a game 0-0 after 70 minutes or 1-1 after 87 minutes. Like, and those are often the games that decide who does and doesn't win the league, like those tight games. And When Alex Ferguson when he wasn't really allowed to go and buy expensive players, the way he got around it was he just had loads of wingers and loads of centre forwards that he could toss on. And City is starting, not that they don't have loads of centre forwards, but they have loads of attacking options that change the way teams who have been defending have to think about the way that they defend. If you're suddenly facing a player with a completely different skill set and you've been concentrating for 80 minutes or whatever, that ability to go and toss on an entirely different player that represents an entirely different challenge against tired legs and tired minds is a very helpful tool in winning leagues. And City have that, and Liverpool don't have that. And United are starting to get it. And that's one of the reasons I think that United will probably finish above Liverpool, and I think City will finish above Liverpool too.
So ascending order, four words. You might have just said it, but ascending order, four words. The top four?
In ascending order. Liverpool, Chelsea, United, City.
Nice one. Talk to you.
All right, guys. See you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks a million. Daniel Harris there, Football Rewind. United Rewind. Looking ahead to the season ahead. Interesting stuff there across the board.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
The only thing you care about is winning the All-Ireland. Everything else is second. We probably did hate Mayo. We were looking at it. These guys are trying to take away our dreams.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.